we can spend again in the study of your word, the important principles that are contained therein. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we're dealing with the summary of capacity righteousness. We finished up last evening how God has at least given us the opportunity to enjoy the blessings in time by imputing to us capacity righteousness at the resurrection and or rapture, and therefore the resurrection body will have the full capacities to enjoy blessings throughout all of eternity. As I mentioned last evening, you realize, of course, that there are certain blessings that we cannot have now because our bodies can't take it. It just couldn't take it. And think, I hear the heater coming on. Whoa! I think we deserve a little above that, yes. Thank you, Glenn and Company. And it's blowing cold air. That works great. Needless to say, these blessings are so absolutely phenomenal, we're going to have a new body to be able to enjoy them. Just think about it. Now, I can't think about it too long because I don't even have any idea what kind of a blessing God would have for believers who have capacity in time to enjoy blessings in eternity that we need a new body for. Because I'm in this body, and when I get blessed in this life, I'm just thrilled. Imagine having a brand new body so that he can bless us in a way that he's never blessed us before. And every believer will have at least two of the three factors involved with that blessing. Every believer will have the resurrection body and the capacity. What's the missing factor? The blessing. Most believers will never receive the blessing because they were never blessed in time. And I love that that hymn that says, "Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." Because here on earth, we just get a foretaste. And yet it is most satisfying, is it not? When we're living according to God's protocol plan, the Christian life is absolutely fulfilling and phenomenally exciting. That's what oftentimes has bothered me when I meet certain believers and they look like, well, it's just another day, another buck, you know, that kind of thing. Well, any non-believer can have that and he has no hope. And so the summary again. Integrity is the capacity for blessing in time. I woke up this morning around, 3 or 4 or 5, somewhere around in there. I know it was early because it was dark, and it was darker than usual, I guess because of the inclement weather or the weather that was coming in. Or maybe it was just that I couldn't see as well as I normally can. But nevertheless, I usually either sit up or get up or go out and sit in my office. If I get up real early, I just kind of sit there and stare at the wall. That's a kind of a customary thing with me. And then I start thinking. And, of course, the first thoughts, I think, I discard completely because those are sheer nonsense. That's half-sleep, half-awake type thoughts, which some of you perpetuate in your entire lifetime. But at least for those of us that can eventually get our resources together and come up with a thought that is reasonable, I started thinking about this. And I thought, I wanted to try to make an acrostic out of the whole thing, and that didn't work out, so I wasn't going to force the issue. But really, what does integrity involve when you stop to think about it? What is integrity? When I say integrity is the capacity for blessing in time, what does that say to you? What is integrity? Well, here's a word you might consider if you hadn't thought about it before, honesty. That's a part of integrity. How about this word, reliability? It may be a synonym, but I think it's a part of it. Trustworthy, reliability, honorable, kindness, compassion, thinking of others, responsibility. And you know what I did? I guess the first thing I came up with was, what are all the things my mother called me when I was growing up? Irresponsible, unfaithful. And so I just reversed them, and I thought, well, I've built some integrity over the years. But really, that's what it involves. A person who has integrity is one that you can trust. A person who has integrity is one that you can rely upon. Another word is faithful. You know, we ascribe integrity to God, but He doesn't have integrity, He is integrity. He is the sum total of what integrity encompasses. Is He faithful? Is He trustworthy? Can you rely on Him? See? Is He responsible? Is He honorable? Yes. Now the next question, of course, is to ask ourselves, can others trust us? With little things? With mediocre things? With things of greater importance? With things of great importance? And I related this, for example, for a person either on a job or in a relationship called marriage. Trustworthy. Doesn't cut out on his wife. Honorable. Doesn't do things that would disgrace their marriage relationship. Responsible. The man of the house provides the monies. He is the breadwinner. He is the one, for example, that brings the money into the house for the supply of the household. Now, I realize that in the type of the economy that we have now, there are many who have to work. I don't think it was ever intended that way, especially with children. My wife has only worked once, and not very well as such. She did a good job, but she was also great with child. It was difficult. I was going to school. And as a result, I became irresponsible in just some of the duties that would have helped her out. I look back on it now in retrospect. At the time, I didn't think that. I thought my studies were more important. After all, I had to study. The problem was I wasn't doing that either. Students and their responsibility to their grades. Yeah, trustworthy, responsible. Honest, honorable, reliable. Same with the protocol plan of God. Same with attendance in Bible class. Same with giving. Same with any aspect of the Christian life. So you got to be thankful that I have these times when I just kind of go in there and stare. Like I said before, some of the thoughts aren't even worthy for print because they don't make any sense. Do you ever wake up with that great idea in that kind of a no-doze stage? Then after you're awake enough and you think back on it, you say, what? Well, that's stupidity. But like I said earlier, I know people that actually live their entire lives that way. That's their norm. And they think they're phenomenally bright. Integrity is capacity for blessing in time. Integrity, for example, takes advantage of the protocol plan of God. And I don't mean takes advantage as far as advantage goes, but utilizes what it involves. And lives it according honorably and responsibly to the demands and the mandates of that plan. You know, I think service life is one of the best reflections of that. You can't just do things your way. And oft times, I must admit, it may not even be the right way. But it's a way that's been mandated by somebody. A way that has, at least in the mind of someone, been acceptable. Generally, when it comes down from what we'd consider the high command, the brass. The 5-star to the 4, the 4 to the 3, the 3 to the 2, the 1, right? the bird to the lieutenant colonel, the colonel to the major to the captain, and from there it jumps to the master sergeant. And our first and second Louis, forget them. What do they know anyway? They're the ones that are still staring at the wall. Then from there it goes to the deck sergeant and generally jumps to the staff, and then to the buck, and then he passes it. And the poor private wonders why he has to do it that way. He doesn't know that it came down through a whole series of a chain of command. And so too with God the Father. He says, look, I don't want you to question why I mandated certain things. With him, though, he's perfect. You see, with man, everything's imperfect. God says, look, I know that this is the best for you. This works. I wouldn't ask you to do something that didn't work. So we sit around and question it, and then we try to do it on our own. And he lets us. How gracious he is. He says, go ahead. And then after we've worn all the skin off our nose, because we've fallen on it so often, we finally decide, maybe we'll give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to fulfill the mandate of the Father. That's what integrity is all about. And it's something we just don't have today. Don't have it. I was watching a program this afternoon, accidentally, of course. Actually, I was waiting for another one to come on, and Geraldo was on. I know the J is pronounced differently. I did that purposely. Geraldo. Gee. Anyway, he had a girl on the program. She was 14 years old. She was to have her fourth child. And so as they questioned her, you could see there was no remorse, no guilt, no shame. She wasn't even married to the guy. Where are we going in this country? And, of course, she could hardly speak English. Oh, she was born in this country. And there was no accent, so she wasn't born in a home other than a home which spoke the English language. So I said something snotty like, boy, she's articulate, isn't she? We know she's prolific. I would think she would begin to have more intercourse with words than she does with her body. I remember the first time I heard someone get up and talk about having verbal intercourse with someone. I thought it was something new, you know. Wanted to find out about that. And somebody told me it was just communication. Some of you look at me like, oh, it is? No, I'm not going to teach you something new. Maybe I did, I don't know. It's an exchange of thoughts, ideas. Verbally. It's not kinky. We have people that are so upset about certain programs and language that's used on certain programs on television, and yet their life is a complete denial of their objection. I'd like to see, for example, integrity from the standpoint of productivity. When you buy a product and have some worth behind it. Again, you know, it says guaranteed. And then if you read in fine print, which only people with 3X bifocals can read, it says limited. Limited. It'll say guaranteed, but then it has an asterisk next to it. You drop way down, real small fine print. You ever notice, by the way, that medication has print that no senior citizen could ever read? No wonder they overdose all the time. Plus, you can't even open the damn things. They say it's childproof. Remember that old people are, you know, they have about as much strength as a five-year-old. And they can't see and they can't open the cap. So you see a person slumped over with this thing clutched in their hand, or a ball of cotton. That's as far as they got. Humor mine. Integrity is also the key to happiness. You'll find people who are honorable, who are trustworthy, who are reliable, who are truthful, are happy people. Because they're not suffering from guilt. You see, guilt always leads to depression. There's one thing, you may fool the world with your lies. We may fool the world with our deceit. But who's the one person we cannot fool? Ourselves. Can't do it. Until we get to the point where we become mentally ill, then we can deceive ourselves easily. But depression precedes it. Illusion leads to depression. What's illusion? Illusion is just simply a false standard of expectation. Fantasies. This is why I feel so badly for women that have to watch those soap operas and are so involved in the lives of people that don't even exist, of stories that are just made up. And you want to see them, they cry and they get all upset and they get all ticked off about whatever her name is and whatever doctor she's in the room with. I can only think of the one where it was city, county, general hospital. I know it had to be one of them. Then they have the young and the restless, the old and the gasless, and I mean, you know, it goes on and on and on and on. You missed that one. You were laughing too hard. The younger and the... No, I know what it is. The young and the restless, and the old and the restful. Listless. I don't think I like that. Say, why not? Because I didn't say it. Again, point two, the fact that you are alive indicates that God has for you a baseline for happiness. You have the basic foundation for happiness. If you weren't alive, you know, you wouldn't have it. You understand that, don't you? Dead people do not have a baseline for happiness. There are no happy dead people. Neither are there no unhappy dead people. They're just dead. So happiness belongs to someone, and it's not for the other guy. God intended for it to be for us, for you, for me, for all believers. And I think that happiness should so reflect itself that the unsaved world would just sit up and take notice. But they don't. Because they don't see any difference. Now we can put on that phony air, you know, that business. That's not happiness. That's just phony air. And you know what phony air is, don't you? Three, God is perfect, therefore he has perfect happiness. Nothing makes God unhappy. And God's happiness is based on his capacity. And you see, what's good for God certainly must be good for us. If God's happiness is based on his capacity for happiness, you say, well, he has all the happiness he needs because he has all the capacity he needs. Exactly. How about you?
How about me?
And since God is perfect and has absolute integrity, there it is, his happiness is coterminous with his perfect capacity, righteousness. And that he offers us. And we say, now, God, I'd like to try something else. I'd like to search for some other way to be happy. You say, excuse me, people don't do that. Oh, don't they? Then why is it so many people are unhappy? And why is it so many people run around trying to find happiness in every single area of life except that which is mandated in the Word of God? That only proves my point. God desires to share his happiness with us, so he gives us at salvation the imputed righteousness capacity for logistical blessing. He enters into this union with Christ, and we share Christ's righteousness. Therefore, as a result of that, which we've studied, that becomes the baseline for our happiness. That becomes the very foundation on which our happiness is built. But again, you see, happiness positional, happiness eternal, missing factor. Happiness in time. Blessing positional, blessing eternal, missing factor. Blessing in time. You notice how everything comes back to capacity, righteousness, in time. Four, happiness and virtue cannot be separated. Virtue is, of course, a part of that integrity. You know, in the days of Solomon, he asked a question. Remember what the question was? Who can find a virtuous woman? Now, you know, that leads me to another question. Weren't there any? Were they that hard to find? That's just like prior to our Lord's departure, he said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find any faith left on earth? See, he knew what the latter days would be characterized by. And if you think that anything points to the fact that we're living in the latter days, look around you. I think our redemption is closer than we ever thought it was. And if that in any way intimidates you and immediately suggests that I better get with it quickly because I may not have enough time, that was the intent. Because I'm such a nice guy. I want to remind you of these things. I think I know part of why certain people don't come to Bible class. They don't want to be told these things because it bothers them. They want to go someplace like the United Methodist Church and just sit there on their kulos. That's Greek for gluteus maximus. And say, in effect, make me feel good. And so they sing, and generally they can outsing all of us put together backwards. And they have organs that cost, these of course, that cost billions in some cases. I know millions. I know the repair of one particular pipe organ here in the valley cost more than all four of our buildings just to repair it. $700,000 for repairs. Repairs! Of course, I know people that also have $100,000 kitchens. No problem with that. You can afford it. I'd much rather have a $100,000 home than a $100,000 kitchen, unless the rest of the house went with it. Where would I sleep? In the oven? Think about that. You know, I know right away some of you ladies say, oh, $100,000 kitchen. I didn't say anything about the rest of the house. There wasn't any rest of the house. That was it. No. But can you imagine? And people sit there, and they leave. They meet the pastor at the door, and they make little funny sounds, and he makes little funny sounds back. Click, 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 click. And then they go, click, 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 click. You know, so I never stand at the door, and even if I did, you'd probably walk right past me. I used to do that years ago. What a waste of time that was. I had more people chew me out than compliment me, so I gave that up. Yeah, I spoke at a church in the Bronx. The Bronx. In New York City. And as I was standing in the back greeting the people as they left, you know, and a woman said to me, she says, you know, what you said was great, but you took too long. That was the same place where the deacon told me, he says, we quit here, which gave me 20 minutes. Can you imagine? 20 minutes? I spoke for an hour and 10. He also told me they didn't believe in eternal security. He says, so please don't, you know, step on any toes. I said, my subject this morning is the doctrine of eternal security. Hey, don't ever tell me that. Don't tell me what I can't do. Someone just by innuendo said, you know, I was asked to pray at a certain function, and they said something to the effect that we don't want to offend anybody about praying in Jesus' name. And I said, that's the only way I know how. So you better get somebody else. I won't pray in anybody else's name. Oh, okay. I did. And I could hear the little Jewish rumbles going on, you know. It's okay. No problem with that. I told them Shalom Aleichem and all the rest of it and left. As I left the platform, I was singing Hallelujah Gila and all the rest of it. See? Tun, 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 tun. Didn't want to, you know, twist the knife at all. Of course, the fact that I talked about him being our Messiah and the, you know, the promise of Israel and all of that, I guess, may have been a little bit too much. You know, there's some people I know that preach with their eyes open. There are those that preach with their eyes closed. I happen to be doing it that night. During our life on earth as believers, we also have a spiritual righteousness which comes from our three spiritual skills. And by now you should certainly know what they are. For happiness and virtue cannot be separated. As we mentioned last night, God found a way in which he could share his happiness with mankind. How? By providing capacity righteousness. Unbelievers can have establishment virtue. And by the way, they can have a relatively marvelous life. They can. The Word even says they can. Of course, it warns them as well and says, you might as well have your fun now because after you're gone, you know, cometh a lake of fire. Point five, every category of God-given righteousness provides a capacity for true happiness in time and eternity. Remember, this is a summary. God never gives divine blessing beyond capacity for blessing. And by now, I think you know the answer why. If I said why, if God gave divine blessing beyond our capacity for blessing, it wouldn't be blessing. Do you see? Look. Now, this is ridiculous. I know I didn't have any. I had two missing. Now I have them all missing. Well, I'll just have to get a blue one out. Now, see, the thing is, I wrote this last night, didn't I? Yeah, I hear him by the piano. There's only one there, though, Carl. I had six of them here. Bunch of little thieves go to this school, I'll tell you. If God imputed blessing to us in time, minus capacity righteousness, it would be identical to his imputing eternal blessing to us in our human bodies. What would it do to us? It'd kill us. That's right. It is said that anyone who goes into the presence of God is consumed, and yet in eternity will be able to go right into the presence of Almighty God, because we'll have a new body which will be able to withstand the marvel of that effulgence and all that glory, because we're sharing that glory. So don't ever think you're getting shorted because God hasn't blessed you. He can't until you have the capacity for it, until that minus becomes a plus. And as soon as it does, it'll come as quickly and quicker than you think. Because he's been waiting a long time to bless some of us. He's been waiting a long time. It says that, and this is, an anthropopathism, an anthropomorphism as well. He's tapping his foot, waiting, with great anticipation to pour out his blessing upon his people. Why doesn't he? Because you don't have the capacity for it. It wouldn't be blessing. Suppose your blessing was monetary prosperity, and all of a sudden you had, overnight, you had $10 million. You say, yeah. I say, no. It'd probably destroy you. You get by with 10, forget the million. Isn't God able to supply us $10 million? Can he give Westside Bible Church $100,000 a week offerings? Why won't he? What's he telling us? No capacity. You say, but what about these churches that are... Forget them. We're not talking about grace churches. We're not talking about churches that rely on the Spirit of God. If I have a bake sale out there, that's what I'm relying upon. The cake, the pie, the whatever. No, we're totally reliant and dependent upon the Spirit of God. So he's telling us something. Get the capacity, you'll get the blessing. And you say, well, it appears that what you're saying then is not only does it work individually, but it can also work collectively. Yeah. It's not too deep to think this out. Why? Because you see, individuals make up the collective. So if you have a lot of individuals, you end up with a collective body. And if God is blessing every one of those because they have capacity, what's going to happen to the collective gathering? They're all going to be blessed. That's why we're always warned about the Achans in the camp. Remember what happened to Israel? Mightily blessed, as long as they had no discord within their ranks. that all of a sudden we had a man of no integrity, no capacity, no virtue, no truth. In fact, he was a thief. And he held for himself a part of the loot, hid it under his bed. The next time they went against Ai, they lost. They were badly beaten. Of course, you could just imagine poor Joshua. Hey, this is the same one that said, I will fight for you, I will go ahead of you, I will destroy your enemies. So he didn't get upset at God. He said, God, what's wrong? You've got one in your camp that has caused you disgrace. Purge yourself. And what did they do to him? They spanked him, right? They court-martialed him. No. They killed him on the spot. Well, that's not a popular thing to say, is it? That's the way God demanded. Well, that cleared the way. What is he telling us to do with our lives as individuals? Destroy the Achans in our life. Because, and notice the name. What does it cause you? Achan. I mean, that denotes pain, doesn't it? Anybody here get up in the morning and ask for pain? I don't. Me, it's just the opposite. Lord, this thing that I got during the night, I don't know where it came from, but yeah, I don't want it. Give it to somebody else. Let them have it for a while. It seems the older I get, the newer things get. I don't even know what they are. You know, I used to have everything pinpointed. I found there are places in my body I never knew I even had. You say, well, how do you know that? Because it hurts. Hey, what is this? Oh, I have one of those? Oh, yeah. Well, it hurts. Honey, this thing that I never knew I had hurts. That's all right. I knew I had one and it hurts too. Oh, okay. You know, you start going, what's this? What's this? It's your head. I mean, I got to the point where sometimes my earlobes even hurt. You know, and I don't have my ears pierced. But then it goes away. I come to class. I've always noticed, by the way, that regardless of how I feel before class, after I leave class, I always feel 50 to 75% better. Now, some of you look at me and go, it's not that way with me. Sure, it's easy for you to say. You stand up there and make fun of us. No, I don't. See, I force some of you to get tapes by saying things about you during class, and then you get the tape to make sure that I said what I said I said. I'm sure by this time Nancy's heard that tape about the cat. She didn't yet. Uh-oh. Well, you missed something, I'll tell you. Now, the rest of you are going to say, could I have the tape about Nancy's cat? I didn't say anything about Nancy's cat. Hey, it's better than throwing him up in the air with bayonets underneath him. Those little stinkers, they'd always figure a way to get around it. You know how they are. You know, people say you throw a cat in the air and it'll always land on its feet. I had one that never did. And the ninth time, it died. No, that's a joke. Ken told me that one. If he didn't, he wished he had. Yeah, I know it was. Yeah, I like that too. God can't bless you without capacity. Can't. It's not he's trying to cheat you. Can't. It wouldn't be blessing.
It'd be hurt. Just like, let's suppose you said, well, God, I want to be blessed with my eternal blessings. And so he says, okay. And somebody says, have you seen so-and-so lately? No, I went over to the house and all I saw was, ashes in the middle of the floor. Oh, he got his eternal blessings. That's what it would do. Part of that, you know, is seeing the glory of God. No one ever saw that before. The closest they came when the Lord Jesus was transfigured. Moses didn't even see the glory of God. He wasn't allowed to. He couldn't. And yet when he came down from the mount, what does it say about his radiance? His face was glowing. You know what happens when you take, not luminiferous, but luminescence, and put it next to light? Remember when you were a kid, you always had one of those little medallions or something that you'd hold next to the light, and you'd run into a room somewhere, you know, and you'd look and it would glow? Huh? I've got a shirt at home. It says West Side Bible. It was printed by Best Impressions. And sometimes I forget I'm wearing it because sometimes I wear it to bed. And I wake up about 2 or 3 in the morning and I look down and here's this West Side Bible just bright as anything. It's been going for a long time. Scares me half to death. Wondering what's in bed with me. Other than my wife, of course. I know she doesn't shine that way. But when he came down, just the reflected glory, his face just shone. Of course, the text says that he covered his face. Some have suggested one of two reasons. One, that it wouldn't be unbearable to the ones that saw it. But then, could it be that on his way down, it was fading? And he didn't want anybody to see that? You know, we behold, as it were, the face of our Lord through his word. And it reflects its glory upon us. And you know the face shows it? It really does. So point five again, every category of God-given righteousness provides a capacity for true happiness in time and eternity. Six, logistical grace and positional grace provide a foundation for happiness. This sustains your life. See, God has made it possible for your life to be sustained so that you can make the choice for or against doctrine. That answers the question, how come believers who are negative to the word are still alive? I know what some of you are thinking. You know, if you had anything to do with it, as soon as they get negative, if you were God, you'd just snuff out their candle. Well, that's how patient he is. And then at what point should he have snuffed yours out? You see? That's why breathing is so important. Breathing tells us, you know, inhale, God has life for me. See? When you stop doing that, that's the end. Your life is over. Then it's report card time. What kind of grade are you going to get? Oh, I don't want to hear about that either. I think I'll go to the United Methodist Church. They don't talk about grades. They just talk about cantatas and cantinas and cantaloupes and cake sales. See, why do you keep picking on the United Methodist Church? Because I saw something in something Ken gave me, and it had a little brochure in that said United Methodist Church. So I thought I'd pick on him. That's where he used to go. Am I right? Right, okay. I thought maybe I forgot that. But I could have used, for example, something like the Christian Church or the Lutheran Church or some phony baloney Baptist church. Oh, I got another Methodist over here, too. Boy, they're outnumbered. Church of God, Assembly of God, Nazarene, Baptist, Greek Orthodox. Hey, they're good ones to pick on. Let's pick on them for a while. 7, scriptural documentation. Psalm 16:11. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will make known to me the the path of life in your presence." Is fullness of happiness. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. What a phenomenal verse. To know the path of life for your life, you must know what? Spiritual skills, the 3 of them. When are we in the presence of God on earth without face to face seeing Him? When we look into His Word. Yeah, there's the mind of Christ. Why is perfect happiness to be shared with us in time so that we can be prepared for eternal perfect happiness far beyond our expectations? Again, may I remind you, God even has to give us a new body so that we can enjoy that. Proverbs 3:13 says, happiness to a person who finds wisdom, even the person who gains understanding. Remember, the filling of the Spirit plus spiritual IQ plus Operation Z equals sharing the happiness of God. I'm going to give you that again. Okay. The filling of the Spirit plus spiritual IQ plus Operation Z equals sharing the perfect happiness of God. You should remember that because that's one of the formulas that Bob gave when he was here. John 15, verse 11 says, I have taught you these things that my happiness may be somewhere around, but you'll never find it. Is that what he said? I've taught you these things that my happiness may be surrounding you. No. I've taught you these things that my happiness might be in you. See, this is such a tremendous thought. That little word of location is so important. That tiny little locative. You know, that word means more in the English language than anything else. For instance, if I said, I was standing on a ledge of a window and I fell. I was 60 stories up when I fell. And I'm alive to tell you. You say, wow, I didn't tell you I fell out, I fell in. Does that word mean anything there in that description? The difference between 60 stories and about 3.5 feet. I was standing on the ledge and I fell. First question, in or out? See? How about if any man be in Christ? Is it important there? Yep. How would you like it if I said, you are out of Christ? Ooh. That should annoy you, right? Sure. How about this one? That my happiness might be in you. Not outside. Not something that stimulates the outer shell of the body. No, 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 no. It's something that stems from within. And it may never show itself on the outside. But generally, you can't hold a good thing down, right? Why is it that so many people are miserable? Depressed? Upset? Disgusted? Something wrong inside. And you see, if the outside affects the inside, it's wrong. How's it supposed to go? The inside should affect the outside. That's the Christian life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we walk around. You have a hope of glory? Yes, I do. Oh, please, does it hurt that much? See? When that which is within control, well, that's the problem, you say. Right. Because if there isn't much inside, then you're a victim of outside stuff. But when you got a lot inside, then you control the outside. Then you relate to it easily. That's the protocol plan of God. Think about that. What a phenomenal concept. And it's all built on this is the Word. You know, we say, there I was standing in the rain. Actually, you were standing out in the rain, right? Well, unless it rains in your house. Carl, you got your new roof on, didn't you? Yeah, okay. Point eight. Oh, I'm going to save this for tomorrow. This is good stuff. Contentment, tranquility, capacity. Oh, got to save this. It's too good to just run over in a minute and a half. Besides, I'm already a minute and a half over. Can't do that. What I've said basically in my last few statements is that when you become a victim of what's on the outside, it means you're very shallow on the inside. And when you have a lot on the inside, what's on the outside can't bother you at all. Why didn't our Lord get bothered, and anyone should have been? Look at the way they treated him. So he had all that on the inside. That's right. And what has he promised us? That my happiness can be in you. And that's what the average believer doesn't want to hear. That's right. They want to be tickled. And that makes them happy. Well, little babies like to be tickled. Huh? Krisha was being tickled tonight. And she's giggling away. And it lasted about 2 minutes, because the next minute she's crying. See? Average believer. I don't tickle. And I get right down to the point. Point is, what's on the inside? That's you. Father, thank you for the time together. Dismiss us in Christ's name. Amen.